This meeting is being recorded.
This is the Ohio Writers Guild, and this is our mastermind. And Sandy and I, we were just talking about how my writing was coming. And so I'm going to kind of turn the tables on Sandy and ask her what she's currently working on. Are you currently working on anything, Sandy?
Hi there. Yes, I have a short story. There are times when if I'm in between a big project, I will pull out some of my files in which I have stories started or short story worked on, but now it needs polish. And there's nothing like attending a work. Yeah, nothing like attending a workshop or listening to somebody talk about writing, and that clicks. And I go, ooh, I'm going to apply that to my short story. And short stories are nice. It all began when I started to write my very first novel. And I realize it's going to take me a lot longer to learn how to do it as well as to tell this story. And I don't know. And I didn't want to take up that much time. So let me start with a short story. Because every short, and I thought, let me learn how to do that well. Then I'm sure I could apply that to a novel. So that's where I've gone with short story writing. And there are a lot of people who are more willing to read your short story and give you feedback sometimes than to read a whole novel. And that works that way as well. So with this short story, it's probably about 4 or 5 years old. I had sent it out for submissions, because if you do go to Duotrope or the Grindr submission site and see who's looking for what and what the deadlines are, that helps to get your story out on time or get you back into your chair or however you write, because you're thinking, I want to meet that deadline. If it's an October 1st deadline, I've got time. So that's where being a writer on your own is tough, because the only deadlines you're meeting are the ones you create. So sometimes it makes it very easy to stretch those deadlines or delete them altogether or
keep pushing them out.
Exactly. So if I go online and I see such and such a magazine is looking for, they're going to open their submissions window on October 1st, let's say, for 2 weeks or 3 weeks, I want to be in that. And I want to be there on the first day, just because, well, I'm one of those who shows up 5 to 10 minutes early to everything anyway. So it's my nature to want to be in there in the first couple of days. And so that's where, and in this particular short story, it takes place at Christmas time, the holidays, in a broken down old mall that is on its way out. And I'm thinking, I've got to have something more like the holidays. So I thought, what kind of smells? What is this character into? So that's only what I was looking at. And again, the short story is about 10 pages long, so I can look at it more carefully in one whole clump than, say, a novel. So that's what I'm working on now, just to give it that final polish. I like stories that, when the way they open is in some sense feeding the way they end. And in my short story, this gal is late going to the mall because she's kind of one of those, she was washing dishes and she's very methodical about how she stacks them up and squeaky clean. And the story ends at a Waffle House, if you all know what a Waffle House is. And as I read this, I thought, wait a minute, I have her washing dishes. So in the very end, as the story ends, she's hearing the clinking of dishes being put away. So I was like, that's it. I've got to mention that. So anyway, so that's it.
I love how you're thinking.
Good. But that's novelists find. So there are some novelists who cannot write a short story. And there are some short story writers who cannot. Well, they probably can, but they say they cannot write a novel. I find short stories learning methods for me. So, you know, it's like the bicycle with the training wheels, you know, and then I'm ready to go for the longer trips. So, yep, that's
okay. I'm going to ask you a couple of questions and then we're going to segue over and say hi to Sherry. But yeah. Sandy, my first question is, how did you decide how many pages does a short story by nature have so many pages, chapters, that sort of thing? Or do you kind of, is there a rule, I guess, is what I'm asking there. And then you mentioned two sites that you can upload, seeing what they're looking for. What were those two sites again you mentioned? One was...
One is Grindr Submissions. Grindr. And it's free. And you pop that, you look for that online. There's a lot of different grinders, so be careful. You may end up being in a site that likes to butcher meat, for all you know. But there, it's, and you just type in there short stories, how long your short stories are, or they'll have little advertisements telling you. And if I have a moment here, I'll look it up and share the website so you can get to it. In the world of short story, it isn't about pages. It's all about word count. Word count is extremely important. And in when we're doing short stories with e-magazines, like fantasy and science fiction, or there's a lot of mystery magazines out there, Ellery Queen Mystery Magazine. And if you read that, and if you look at their submissions or go on to Ellery Queen, mysterymagazine.com, you will find out. Alfred Hitchcock is another one. Find out how many words. 3,000 to 5,000 is about normal, what a lot of places want. So, you know, in the, if you've ever laid out a magazine or a newsletter, or where you're putting a lot of other people's stuff into one thing, 3,000 to 5,000 words gives the layout person a lot of room to work with. They can probably figure out, if they've done it, like say whoever the editors are of some of these e-magazines can knows how many short stories they can do. So that's why that number so much is more, has nothing to do with the feel of the story. So much of it is just the makeup of, are you formatting it right? And by all means, whether you're going to a literary agent with a novel or any place else, or an editor like Tor.com takes books. They publish a lot of fantasy science fiction type books. If they say put it in 12-point font and Times New Roman, by golly, double space, do it, do it, do it, do it. It sounds so ABCs like, and again, has nothing to do if you've written the best story they've ever seen. If it doesn't look like what they're looking for, they won't pay attention to it. But that's all in the write-up of what they're looking for. There isn't a big mystery when that comes to it. And that's where the other challenges. Say, you know, they always say, just write your gut, get it out there, get to the end. A lot of folks never get to the end. Well, in a short story, you get to the end and it's now 10,000 words long. Well, a little longer short story is called a novella. And a novella is starts somewhere around 17,000. So here you have a conundrum. Do you pare it down or do you extend it? And there's where your choices all come into. And as a matter of fact, and let me also fly the flag for short stories. I know somebody, and I direct the End of the Springs Writers Conference, and there's a couple who write together, and they have a series coming out. But they're writing short stories, because when you're on your website promoting to your subscribers or to the public your series, you can dangle the teaser by saying, well, I've got a short story starring Tarzan and Jane. Okay. Oh, well, let me read that short story. So here you, it doesn't have anything to do with the novel, but you've got a little side thing of Tarzan and Jane doing something, for example. So you have a short story. So short stories are really quite useful. And I, other writers, what they'll do is, and for my, so if you subscribe, you get a monthly short story from me. So short stories to me are all kinds of teasers. They're the appetizer, the, what is that? Amuse-bouche. Where they taste like the very complex layers of a big meal, but it's all in this one single bite. So you paid, and after a while, I know that if I get up to 7,000 just to get the story done, I could pair. And I like to trim those stories. Sometimes I trim too much, but I'd rather trim than try and fuss with, but I told the perfect story. How do I make this larger or longer? So that's what you do.
Okay. I get that. And I don't know about you, but sometimes when I just have some time to relax, I love to read a short story because it has that beginning, middle, and end. And and it's not hanging there like, oh, I can't wait to get back to that book. And I don't know about you guys, but sometimes I'll start reading a book and life does get in the way. And by the time I circle back, I'm like, what was this book about? Where were they taking me? Yeah. And I have to back up a chapter or two and go, oh yeah, now I remember the storyline now, because too much has happened in between, you know, and you have movie night with the kids and there's another story. And then, you know, maybe, you know, you're doing your own thing and there's another story. And next thing you know, you're like, I don't even remember the story I was reading. I got away from it too far. So I love short stories for that reason, because you can, again, it has a beginning, middle, and end, and you can do it all in one setting. And you feel like there was a lesson there or an aha moment there or whatever.
And if you're starting, think of it like this. You, in a short story, you should have one, two characters tops, and it should take place in 24 hours. Those are kind of nice little things to start with. After a while, you can kind of do a, and then 2 years later, if you want. But if you're crafting these stories for the first time, or if you, and a lot of, if you're sending them out for e-magazines rather than your own fan base, you should keep with those concepts, because it's gonna force you to have that beginning be really outstanding and eye-catching to the editor or the editor or the slush reader. They have a lot of slush readers who go through everything and then send it on to the editor or the editor-in-chief. So you want that really blazing, get them into the story, keep it at 24 hours. Whatever's going to happen is going to happen in a day or two. Only focus on maybe one or two characters, but the main one main character. Again, you can, that's elastic, but that's it. And you're right. Short stories didn't, except for those e-magazines like Alfred Hitchcock, those sort of collections. And you would see short stories in the old women's magazines and so on. And then they took those out. And but they're coming back. They just for the reasons you said, Kathy, people have little chunks of time, not as much as the big chunks of time. And they're often interrupted. Novellas as well. Those 17 to 20,000 word stories, mini books, are also back in fashion if they were ever out. But now all the critics are noticing. So they're back in fashion because the critics say so. So if you think, oh, I can't write a book, maybe you could do a novella. So
I love that. I love this conversation, and we're going to talk about promoting, but I want to switch over to Sherry. I want to say, hi, Sherry, how are you doing? So what's new in your world? And I know you are always working on something. What are you working on currently?
All right. Is my mic on?
Yes, it is.
Here, yeah. Okay. Thank you.
Can I share my screen, Kathy?
Which reminds me, and for those of you that are listening, I am going to sneak up here and I am actually going to make Sandy a co-host, and then I am going to make Sherry a co-host, and that allows Sherry then to be able to share her screen as well.
Because this just happened.
Okay. I can't wait to see. Obviously this is exciting. I can tell she's got us like hanging on the edge of our seats, waiting to see what's happening.
So remember last year I contributed to a textbook?
Yes.
I have my digital ebook copy on bookshelf on vitalsource.com.
So if I see that
reading, it's going to take a moment to load.
Sure.
Okay. Now let me ask before you go any further. We were just talking about the size of books. What size of a book is this one?
Oh, this is a textbook. This is for the university.
Okay.
So if we go down to the table of contents, we paged all the way down here somewhere. Let's see. Part two.
I just saw it
sure
there.
I'm not sure what part I'm in.
You
I
are
know
part,
what chapter I am.
Part six. One more right there.
Right there. Taking the masks off to Scraffia, page 396. And then you can read. And so my stuff, Miss Sandy, is all about neuroscience. It's not short stories. So this actually had to be like I was writing a dissertation.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And so what is 396, 412 minus 396? How many pages is this? I don't do math in my head.
Well, if you, it's approximately, you have fine print there and more single space, but it's approximately 250 words a page.
Yeah. So you've got 16 pages.
Okay. So, you know, I wrote that way.
So maybe 4,000 words.
But that, so that just came out. I was kind of proud of myself.
Well, yes, yeah, yes. Kudos to you. You've been working hard and it shows.
And dun, 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 the manuscript is rough draft finished.
Okay.
Woo! Very, very good. Very, very good.
Now, this is the book that you and Jonna Lee are doing together. And then is April ghostwriting it? Or
yes.
How is April?
Yes.
Okay, so April,
so April actually took all of our concrete, mathematical, neuroscience brains and wrote a story.
Okay.
So there's a story interwoven within the entire book, which absolutely is adorable. But it also has, one, given us our signature talk, our signature course, our signature move forward for 2024 with business. It has been like, oh, since the July when I went off to Texas. Like we were in the middle of a conversation doing an interview with each other for my podcast. And we finished that and looked at one another and went, oh my gosh, is that going to change our lives? So it was kind of, it was crazy. So I just wanted to share that manuscript. And we're also thinking about changing the title now that it's finished based on some of the stuff that we've done. So I find
that sometimes when I write the book gives me the title by the time I finish it. It's not necessarily what I always thought the title should be. It gives me a whole new title that makes more sense. So I get it.
So right now I am actually trying to make a product logo for that book because there are six parts to basically what we've done. And I'm trying to decide the best way to do a logo. And so, I may actually do this one, get a professional to give me some ideas. I tried doing some mock-ups in Canva. Michael and I sat for about an hour and we're talking about them. And he's like, I think we need to go to your friend and have her take a look at the logos and see if she can take it to the next level.
Yeah, I think you guys are ready. You're coming right along. I'm just so proud of you, Sherry, watching everything that you're doing. Just anybody that's listening to this later, Sherry has started from scratch and she's already authored one book. No, you've authored more than one. I met you when you authored the one book. You're now at how many? Four?
Hold on. So this was published, Handwriting Brain Body Disconnect, in 2019. It was translated, Sandy, it was translated into Turkish and published in Turkey, 2021. That one blows my mind. Last year, this was published, Becoming You. This is an anthology. I am one chapter of 15 women who really talked about our transition of going from where we were to where we'd like to our life to be. You just saw the textbook.
Mm-hmm.
You just saw the title page for Math Disconnected. And the reason I am in this group is because I'm also writing a historical fiction. So I am expounding and telling the rest of Esther's story. Ooh. Yes, I pawned that off of Paul Harvey. Yes, I did.
The rest of the story.
I remember that.
How do you have time? How do you have time? Now, I know
Math Disconnected.
You're working your business like a job.
Oh, it is. It's my job right now. Math Disconnected and those six parts are integral into the, as I'm recreating the Esther part. So that's why I needed to get that aligned, because I knew that that was needed to bounce over into here. So although that is going to, historical fiction is going to read like a novel, it is truly a business women's leadership book.
So you can actually use that in your business as well.
Yes. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. And the whole story is going to revolve initially. Well, the whole story, there's this whole theme of learning disabilities within it. So when I create, I can't create these stories from like out of the blue, like Sandy, you have a gift. Okay. I go back and I look at the research and then I embellish a little bit along the way. But what I found out about Esther is that her stepson had a genetic disorder that they were able to discover when they did some DNA testing, which means based on neurologically what it looks like today, he had a learning disability. So the premise of the book is that part of the reason that Esther finds favor with the king, Xerxes, is because she's the only one that can relate to the wild and crazy ADHD style boy.
Yeah. 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 No, what your story does is what a lot of folks will probably use up more of their time doing, which is background research. So you got it already as your background, and then you know where to look if you have to look something up. Whereas a lot of folks not familiar but interested in the idea would really be kind of sometimes that's the time crunch or waste is all the research. And man, you're on top of that. Great.
Yeah.
But you're looking at it in a novel way.
People love that. Yeah. So here's my question then. And this might not be today's topic, but this one might be something good for the people that listen to the recording to hear. I have heard a lot about Scribner. Mm-hmm. With creating your story, what I did is I purchased Plotter.
Okay.
And I actually, in my research, I went back before Esther in time, because I really wanted to understand what was happening with the development of the Persian culture, the development of the kingdom. How did they overtake? And so I went back in time. And so I have all the way back through King David, like everything that I could find on the internet.
Wow.
So I'm hoping that.
Let's see your office. Do you have like these bulletin boards all around your office with all of, or whiteboards or something with. I'm just curious what your office looks like. Yeah, that's what I thought. That's exactly what I thought. I love it. Mine's the same way. I've got a cork board in front of me, which you guys can't see. It's in front of my computer, but I've got all of my stuff plotted out there. So yes, I love it. I love it.
But I love that plot. I had to actually get the premiere version of Plotter because I kept going from the device to device and I'm like, I can't keep doing this. This is driving me crazy because Plotter could give me a license initially for one device. And so now I just went, okay, I'm buying the whole full package. And oh my gosh, it's just so nice. Cause then I can just go, wait a minute, tell me a little bit about this. And then, and I love that Amazon Prime has all of these historical videos and documentaries. Mm-hmm. And I just saw the other, okay. So I've had bronchitis and sinus infection. So I was down a couple days. So I went into Amazon Prime. There's an actual documentary that was done last year or the year before. It's been since COVID. So like they got it produced really quickly. And they have found Xerxes. They think they've found Xerxes. Let me make sure. I think it was two or three greats. He was actually the one who started the Persian Empire. I cannot pronounce the guy's name, but they knew that he died in the middle of the desert.
Hmm.
Like he never made it to the last thing. And Xerxes is trying to, the whole, what's going on in Xerxes' life is he's trying to conquer what his great grandfather couldn't do. Because his okay. grandfather died in the middle of the desert. Yeah. And like this, these documentaries, I'm going, they went through that much desert. Mm-hmm. Oh my gosh. They're still struggling to find that even with all of our technology today that they can't find these bones. You know, it's like, yeah, maybe I went into the wrong field. I often say I should have been a historian, but I also don't want to be out in the desert in a sandstorm, because I don't know that I like heat that much.
Well, I love your perseverance and your tenaciousness to get this project done, because you are like the Energizer Bunny. You just keep going and going and going. And I can't wait for you to come onto a call to find out what all you've done since I've seen you last. It's always crash.
Yeah. But when I crash hard and I can't do a thing. Mm-hmm. And it's typically a Thursday. I crash on Thursdays. And well, I but can't,
you know,
get
that about yourself.
Done.
So now you can kind of schedule some light Thursdays and kind of regroup and, you know, and rest. So I get that.
And the house is suffering because I am trying to get all this stuff finished.
I finally, because I'm running a guest house, as you know, I just have a gal come in twice a month. She does the deep cleaning for me. I can kind of, you know, I can keep things dusted and vacuumed in the middle of the room, but she does all the like baseboards and fans and windows. And she does all of that, you know, heavy duty deep cleaning stuff twice a month. And that keeps my place. Sherry, you even mentioned one time when you were here, you're like, how do you keep it so clean? And then you were like, oh, you got a girl.
I'm like, I need that. I also just need the cash flow to be a little bit more level. So that we can do some of the house repairs that are an absolute must.
Like, I get it.
we're recording this. I have own a 3-bedroom house and only one bathroom works.
I get it.
And you're not living alone, are you?
There's two men that live in this house with me.
I get it. I understand completely. Mark tore our bathtub out so he could put in, so he could rearrange the bathroom and put in a shower. And so we were just sneaking into one of the guest rooms that I had blocked off. Well, then come this past weekend, I had a full house. So he had to get busy and at least get the shower operational for us. Mm-hmm. But it isn't finished. So I get you. I totally get you. I'm going to share my screen and I'm going to show you briefly what we're going to talk about today, because it is important. I'm going to go over to the Academy, and in the Academy, I'm going to go right here to, let me move our faces out of the way here. I am going to go right here to authors and writers. And here is the course. And I am going to scroll down to our topic today, which is.
I love your emoji, the pencil.
Do you like that?
You know, I like pencils.
Here we go. We are talking about marketing strategies today. And again, I don't know that all of us are quite in the market to start marketing yet, but we have. We've all been published. We have done marketing in the past. And so the six most effective strategies, and I'm not going to just sit and read, but I will share with you. Number one is social media channels. I don't know about you, but so many folks are, they entertain themselves throughout the day, go to any restaurant, you know, anywhere. Did I see somebody's coming in? I got to move our faces here. Okay. Yep, Debbie's in. So anyway, when you're out at a restaurant, it doesn't matter where you are. Sitting at the doctor's office, waiting at a restaurant, even people at the same table at the restaurant, you look over and they're all on their phones. They're not talking to each other. Now, of course, if they're teenagers, they're probably texting each other across the table, but which my grandkids do. I'm like, put your phone down. And she's like, I'm talking to my brother. And I'm like, he's right there, which just kind of tickles me, but it's what they do. So you've got to be on social media. Now, again, I'm a firm believer. You don't want to let it suck the life out of you. And if any of you have gotten into that, you know, windstorm where you get sucked in and all of a sudden you go, oh my gosh, I got to get off of here. I've got things to do. You know, I can't keep looking at social media. So you have to be, very strategic about it, I think. But you do have to do a little bit of creation on the front end. And I like to do my creating on like a Sunday evening. And then I put out my announcement newsletter for the week of what all the meetups are. And I create the things that I'm going to post throughout the week. And that way I don't get sucked in. So social media. So definitely have that on your list. Now, you can generate a buzz if you've got a publication coming. You can generate a buzz using PR, public relations. You can, it's media coverage through PR events can make you stand out in the crowd. So there's all kinds of things that you can do. You can get in touch with journalists who are open to talking about your book. You can sponsor events to showcase your book. You can do speaking engagements and include your book. So you can do all kinds of fun things there. Build excitement with the pre-launch. And I kind of like this idea. There's a girlfriend of ours now that Sherry and Debbie both know. And she's got a book coming, and every day on social media, she's like, my upcoming book, you guys are going to want to know. And, you know, and she just does these little hints, and it just, I catch myself following her because I love a mystery. And the fact that she's just dropping these crumbs makes me want to follow her to see what this hype is all about. And so she's putting that into some of her closed groups. She's doing it on her Facebook page and her LinkedIn. And I'm getting some emails from her. So yes, you could do that whole pre-launch idea. You can send emails.
Do you know who really helps you create a pre-launch campaign is April?
Okay, good to know. Good to know. So she has
if you want me to contact her and link you guys, if you don't have each other's email, she would be an absolutely amazing guest speaker for the mastermind.
Yeah, and I've actually had her on the Ohio Writers Guild. We've actually interviewed her actually on the guild. So yes, she would be a great speaker. And I'm going to go back through those. So Sherry, shoot over to me anybody that you have in mind, or Sandy, if you've got some folks in mind, shoot those over to me because I'm getting ready to plug in some guest speakers coming up.
Perfect.
So emails to your subscribers, you can use a catchy headline as the subject of your email. You can personalize the emails. You can put a call to action right inside your email. You can include videos in your email. I just jumped on in our Build a Better Business program. We talk about how to have different offers. Well, I just jumped on a free offer by Mike Kim, and he just did kind of a masterclass for like an hour and presented this material. And then, you know, if you were in, he said, just type interested in the chat. So simple. He said, you know, he just keeps things just really simple. He said, just type interested in the chat. And so I typed interested, And so then he sent, because I had to register for that masterclass, he had my email. So then he sent me an email, and the email was just a very personal email from him. Now, I'm sure everyone felt like the email was very personal from him. And it simply had a link that said, if you want to, work with me and the person that was on this masterclass, here's the link. And it was just so easy and non-pretentious. And it wasn't this big, I don't know if you've ever gotten sucked into some of those funnels where it goes on and on and on and on and on and on. And you're like, oh, I don't have time for this. And after a while you're like, okay, I gotta get out of this. And so you're not going to join because you never even made it to the end of their infomercial. And so anyhow, don't make it so complicated, I guess, is my whole point when it comes to emails. And so then you can collaborate.
Carrie Wilkerson suggests max of 5 emails.
Maximum of 5. Okay. I agree with that, because when I start to feel like I'm being stalked, I unsubscribe. Because I just don't have time. Even though it was a topic that I maybe once was interested in, it's kind of like, okay, I'm done. I can't keep reviewing this in my inbox over and over and over. And that's why when I send out my newsletter announcements, I make it right at the top. I just say, if you get more than one of these, it's because you could be in more than one of my groups. But I'm only going to send one a week. I'm not going to blow up your inbox with 2 or 3 emails every day, like some folks do, because they think more is better. Like, oh, she must have missed the first 25. Let's send her another 30. And so, anyway, yeah, I be easy with the social media and the emails. You can collaborate with partners. This is what Sherry just did in the last book, Becoming You, is that it was a collaborative effort. She collaborated with a lot of partners. So now all of a sudden, it's not just her promoting the book. It's 20 some authors all promoting the same book. And so you have a much better chance of that one really making some waves out there as a publication, because you're collaborating and you've got more people pushing the cart in the right direction. So I encourage a lot of first-time authors to do a collaboration project, because it gives you a great base. It gives you a great start. It gives you the confidence that you're a published author, and oftentimes you're further up on the totem pole of people noticing you, again, because you've got 20 authors pushing that book in the right direction. So I love collaborations. And again, another thing with collaborations, I don't know if you remember, I think it was Zig Ziglar that said, if you give folks what they want, they will give you what you want. And so when you're collaborating, all you have to do is just give kudos to all those other authors. You don't even have to talk about yourself. You can just say, oh my gosh, there are some amazing stories in this book. And you don't have to say, I have an amazing story in the book. You can just say, there are amazing stories in this book. These other authors that I'm in collaboration with are just amazing. And all of a sudden people are buying the book, and you didn't have to promote yourself at all. So I love the collaboration idea. And then use video marketing. And I know I'm guilty of not doing a lot of video marketing. I do my Zoom calls, and I'm very comfortable behind the camera, but I have a tendency to not just, put up my cell phone and do a little selfie video and post it. I have a tendency not to do that. But it says here that 82% of all consumer internet traffic will be online videos, 15 times higher than what it was back in 2017. So you've got to get out there, because now these statistics are even old. It's even higher now than then. So definitely use some video. Now I know, Sherry, you're doing some video, so maybe you can talk to that for a minute. But anyway, in closing, producing a book is one of the most effective ways to promote your expertise to a wider audience. A good book is a valuable resource, and just get it out there. Just put yourself out there. Doesn't have to be a huge undertaking or project to promote it. Just create your system. I'll go back to that old adage, make a plan and then work your plan. Just come up with your plan on how many social media posts, how many videos, you know, how many speaking gigs, whatever it is that you're going to do, create your plan and then work the plan. And you'll be amazed at how fast your book goes to the top. So that's what I wanted to share today. And so, Sherry, tell us a little bit. And I wanted to talk to you. Well, first, I want to say hi to Debbie. Debbie, thank you for joining us. It's good to see you. And Sherry, I wanted to ask you, tell us a little bit about your shorts that you were doing on YouTube. And I saw it and I haven't investigated that. What highlights can you give us about doing those on YouTube?
Yeah. Excuse me.
I have a feeling
Somebody just came to visit.
Oh, her office assistant is there.
Yes. My office assistant has come. He's all wet, which means he was outside. So what I'm doing this year for this season of the podcast is I am recording the video and audio version, and I'm telling my guests that there will be a video release as well as the audio release. And from that, I am going into a program that takes clips, and I am taking clips out of those videos.
Okay.
And putting them in separate files. And then those are the clips that I'm going to use for marketing.
So you're just doing like just a little snippet out of a longer video that you're already doing.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And so you can take that snippet and you can then size it whatever you want just to get what you're saying there. Mm-hmm. Now, give us an example. What might be in one of those clips or snippets? Are you talking a couple of sentences? Are you talking 5 minutes of the video? What kind of a length?
So I put them in my Pocket Cast podcast and then a YouTube short as well. My Pocket Cast, I try to keep from between 3 and 5 minutes, and that's an intervention idea. And so it has something to do with intervention or something like that. So I was in my paid discussion group. We started talking about one of the activities that I teach. And the OTs that were in the discussion group were saying, well, we did this with it, and we did that with it, and we did this with it, and we did that with it. And I'm like, you guys, I'm so glad I'm recording it. This is amazing. I'm letting you know now, I am putting this up on YouTube just so that you know. And they all gave me a-OK to do so. So I took three clips out of that hour and a half training discussion group, and I have three minutes, so 9 minutes out of an hour I'm sharing with the world.
Okay. And so you just got permission from the folks that were on the video to use snippets of it, and you're using that as your marketing. So all of us mm-hmm. can create those shorts or those, 3 minute video clips. And we can put those out there on a book that we're getting ready to publish or any kind of marketing. It's just a great little marketing tool, and it doesn't take long to do.
So the company that I'm using to do the snippets does video and audio at the same time. It's called Descript, DESCRIPT, Descript. It's pre-programmed. It will take... Thank you, Kathy. It will take out all of your ums and ahs and extra words. So it has a program that all you have to do is click a button. It goes through your entire... Oh, it also creates a transcript. It'll go through your entire transcript and it'll say, would you like me to get rid of all your ums and ahs? I'm like, yep, bop.
Okay.
And it will do that. Now, on the video version, it's not always as good to do that as it is on the audio version. The audio version, it's good to do that. The video, because you cut out a thing, you see this chop on the video when you go back and you review it.
It'll jump a little.
Yeah, yes. It'll jump a little.
I've seen that. Yeah.
Yeah. So that's how they get those little jumps, is possibly a long pregnant pause or something like that. Another thing it will do is you click another button and it will get rid of all those pregnant pauses inside the.
Okay.
So it does a lot of amazing things. And you can chop off stuff. So we get on some kind of a conversation that is recorded and really is not something that the rest of the world should hear.
Mm-hmm.
Voila, you can just go cut here, boom, it's done.
Okay. I get it. So it's a great editing tool for your video.
It is, and it does both the video and the podcast. And then after that, I did hire somebody to master my podcast. So he puts a little bit of music to it. These sound effects. And so he puts the sound effects, masters it, and sends it back to me in like 3 days.
Okay.
He's amazing. And he's also offered to do the videos. So I'm going to get the videos done as well. So I shoot a video, I stick it through to script, get rid of the filler words, clean up some stuff that I don't want to do, take chops out of it that I want to use for marketing, send the version I want over to him in like 3 or 4 days. I have it back and I can then put up video, I can put up audio, and voila, I am off to the next podcast. Now, my next adventure is adding sponsors. So get somebody to start paying for some of this, because the money.
I get it. You're working the program. I get it that you're doing that. Mm-hmm. So if you're out there with the book, there's some ways to market by using some video. You don't have to get as in-depth as Sherry, but you can use some video. Yes, Sandy.
Yeah. My main public library in Springfield, Ohio has just finished a soundproof booth. It looks like a tiny telephone booth. And for those who don't know what a telephone booth is, it's like a narrow refrigerator. And it's totally carpeted. It's got all the stuff you'd need to make your own tape recordings. I haven't been inside it, and I don't know the ins and outs of podcasting, but I am, next time I'm in there, I am, asking for a tour. Of course, that means opening the door, take it, look inside. But a lot of times it's like, where do you do this? And they have the right setting for it. So check your public library. They may even have, some may even have video type recording possibilities. So
That's great that they're making that addition, because it is so popular right now. And there's some co-working spots. I know in Columbus, Ohio, I know of three now that are co-working spots that have a podcast studio. That you simply, if you're using their co-working spots, that's one of the perks that you get by just scheduling it. You can just get on the schedule to use that particular studio. And so that's kind of fun.
Yeah. I've also used my local university.
Absolutely. So again, we're talking about books. We're talking about today marketing your book and the ways that you can market your book. We had some great conversation at the very beginning of the call today about short stories and how many words for short story and places that you can get published, get your short stories published. And then we segued over to what Sherry is doing, and she showed us her latest publication inside a textbook. So kudos to Sherry. And then she still has her historical novel coming along. And so, Debbie, tell us a little bit in your world, what you're doing, how your book is coming along, and what process you're in. I saw Debbie let out a big sigh there.
Sorry.
No, I get it. Yeah, Sandy asked me how my book was coming along, and I'm like, well, it's coming along.
It is. It I've been kind of working on my, I was asked to write another story for Nikki's magazine. So, and it's due Wednesday. So I'm trying to finishing that up. And over the weekend, I worked steadily with canning and freezing. So I'm a little whipped.
Yeah, Debbie's in the middle of harvest, and it's what she does, going green with Debbie Marks, and so she's all about organic gardening and all of the things of going green and organic, and so she has been up to her ears in canning jars.
I'll tell you one thing, when I was out in the garden on Friday, I was actually able to lift the fencing that we put around each one, so I was able to lift some of those off, meaning they're gone, they're done, they're no more. And it kind of gives you the feeling like, okay, I'm getting to the end here. And so, but anyways, I've been having a lot of deep thinking, if I want to put it that way, about my book. And things have been kind of like, do I want to put that in there or don't I? So I've been trying to, those that I question, I kind of put in a separate little folder.
Okay.
So that if I go back, then I can, you know, do what I want to do with them. I find that
you're talking about a storyline that you're not sure you want to go down that path. So you're saving that storyline in a separate folder in case you want to revisit it.
Exactly.
Okay.
Exactly. And it's not that I don't want to share it. It's just that I don't know if I want it to be part of this, what's the word? My memoirs. Mm-hmm. And that's okay. But the point is that when you're living your day-to-day life, isn't it amazing how many things automatically click and pull you back to something? And you stand there and you think, wow, I didn't see that before. I didn't see that before. But what it does is it helps give me a clearer picture of things. And yeah, I'm stuck on chapter 5, but you know, that happens when you get into this part of the season. Mm-hmm. And I'm getting to the end of the harvest, which I'm very grateful for everything that I've been able to do. Because who knows what it's going to be like this winter with food prices.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And you know, so Saturday I was doing tomatoes and I got down near the end and I go, you know what? I'm just going to make a big old pot of vegetable soup. And, you know, we'll eat it for 2 days and then I'll put it in my cottage cheese containers and I'll freeze it.
Yeah.
And that's, you know, so I'm constantly having to think ahead, which is okay.
Well, Debbie, I'll tell you what I tell myself. Sometimes with the, because my income comes from my real estate. So sometimes it's like, oh, I have to do this today, or oh, I have to do that today. And all I did is I just tweaked that one phrase of saying I have to and over to I get to.
Get to.
And so now I say, oh, I get to do this today. Because you know what? Not everybody gets to.
That's
and
right.
Look what all you get to do. And not everybody gets to do that. So kudos to you for everything that you're doing.
Thank you. I appreciate that. And again, I apologize for being late.
Like I said, you're up to your ears in canning jars. I get it.
you know, the best plan of mice and men always has that little.
Yep. Yep. I know. Well, I am just so excited when I look at just those that are on this call today at everything that we've accomplished and are accomplishing and all of the dreams and goals that we have for the future. I can't wait for Sandy's conference coming again next year. And yes, it's the same weekend as my class reunion, but I'll make it work. So not to worry.
I want to be there better next year.
Yes, yes, yes. You would love it.
What date is it?
Sandy, the date coming up.
You're on mute.
Yeah. It's August 2nd, 3rd, and 4th, 2024 in Yellow Springs, Ohio. And I'm still crafting my featured guests list. I've got one, a mystery writer, and I've got the Ohio Audiobook Narrators Association coming. And they're going to talk about how to, put your own books on tape. Or how you hire them and what they do if you hire them to do it. So that's good too. But I'm looking for one other person to go with the mystery writer. And it's underway. I'm excited.
Then how much does that cost?
This past year, it was $279.99 for the weekend. It included lunch. Of course, there's free parking at the Mills Park Hotel. Also, and next year, it so varies with who I have and who's willing to do what. This mystery writer, for extra money, he's willing to take a look at your first like 5 or 10 pages and do personal in-text edits to it, and then meet with you for up to 15 minutes sometime outside of our weekend sessions. And have a rapport, a discussion, a talk about what he, in this case, so far, he is willing to do or what he says and suggestions. So that's always nice. I like that one-on-one approach.
Now, Sandy, on an inside track, are you paying your speakers to speak and present?
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. I pay for, if they're from out of town, I pay for their hotel for the weekend. And I pay, some depends, some have a speaker's fee, I pay per session that they lead. And then there's a different fee if they're on a panel or sharing it with someone else. So,
do you set those fees or do they?
I have, if they're not familiar or if they're seeking whether or not to come, I have those fees already set. I have a contract that I can, a lot of times it's not like, oh, they're a friend of mine. And that is a nice part of it. We don't really need the paperwork, but it really gives them a sense of security and a sense that, okay, she's professional. She's not going to drop this ball in the middle of March and just quit the whole thing. So that it's just a nice professional tone.
Sherry,
there's somebody who really, go ahead.
No, I didn't mean to interrupt. I started to say, Sherry, this could be something, I don't know if April would be a fit or not.
She probably would. She probably would. So, yeah.
Sandy, if
Kathy, connect them.
Yeah, if you get a chance, Sandy, I interviewed April in the Ohio Writers Guild, and there's a recording of her. Say her last name for me, Sherry.
Like the jukebox, but it's spelled with a G.
It doesn't look like jute, but it's pronounced jute. April Jute. Anyway.
I am going to copy and paste it.
Yeah, and I'll look up, Sandy, I'll look up that link to our interview that I did with her because, yeah, because I think it'll give you a good flavor of what she has to offer because we went through the whole thing on what she's doing, how she does it, who she helps, what her thinking is. And I think it'll give you a good idea of who she is. And again, I don't know if she's, I'm not trying to say please use her because Sherry and I know her. I'm just saying if you're looking for someone, she could be a fit for you.
Her ghostwriting technique is writing stories, and she is really good at marketing after the book is So she teaches you how to really do a 6-week campaign that just goes day by day on how on what to say on, in your marketing. So if you want to go that
Yeah, she can answer a couple
story,
of,
yeah, that she has a
she can
couple
fill a
different
couple of spots
avenues.
for you,
Yeah.
Sandy. She can fill the marketing spot and the ghostwriting spot. And, you know, I mean, I think it would just be a good overall mix of folks coming to a writer's workshop. And
That
she's
sounds good.
got, yeah, and she's got a great overview of the industry, which is also good. Debbie, your hand, go ahead.
Would you send me the link for that video? I'd like to see what she has to say. You guys are giving her such great kudos that, you know, maybe she's someone I could just do a short interview on Meetup and have a give her another avenue.
Yeah, 'cause
Now,
she experienced.
remember, Debbie, she may not, you may have to do a pre-recorded one because she's still teaching Monday through Friday and she is in Mountain Time.
Okay. Thank
Yeah.
you. I appreciate that.
You're welcome.
I love it. All right, ladies, we're at the top of the hour. Boy, we've covered a lot of territory today. We talked about short stories, we talked about word count. We talked about marketing. We talked about what Sherry's doing, what Sandy's doing, what Debbie is doing. This has been a great conversation. I love it. Any last comments or aha moments today?
Oh, good to hear from you
I'm
all.
good.
Yes, it has been
Good.
so fun. And Sherry, I just can never wait for you to come on to find out what all how much ground you've covered since I see you last. You don't let the grass grow at all, I can tell. I will get busy sometime this afternoon. I've got a couple of rooms to flip with the guest house, but then I'll get busy this afternoon and I'll get that link over to you, Sandy and Debbie, so that
Please.
you can hear April in person. So, all
I
right,
gotta tell
ladies.
you, I gotta tell you, when you say you're gonna flip rooms and you have that background, it's like, yeah, it kind of goes with it.
You're just gonna get out that their therapy ball and start doing some exercises, right?
There you go. There you go. Absolutely.
See
All
you,
right, ladies.
everybody.
See you next time.
Yes,
Bye.
take care.
Bye.
Stay well.
Bye.